Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So today we're going to talk about office politics. We got an email from somebody who wanted to know if she was the only one who didn't know that there were office politics and felt very naive that to learn that this was something she had to learn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think it is kind of shocking.
When you first discover it?
Right. It is like, what? It is out of nowhere, I think.
How would we define office politics just as a general concept?
Oh, well, it's understanding that there are teams, there are mm-hmm. fractions in the company, and you have to learn not to get on the wrong side of certain teams.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Or not to be associated with other teams, because that might not look good for you in the long run.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That maybe truth-telling is not always the best way, but being very cautious about how you say things.
Uh-huh. Right, I was going to say, I think office politics probably also include how to get recognized and mm-hmm. who gets recognized and understanding what it takes to be seen and mm-hmm. appreciated, right?
Right, that I went to the more devious side. Right, that's part of it. It's more political than you thought.
Right. I know when we were writing Working With You Is Killing Me, one of the first things we say in that book is that, you know, there are two jobs. There's the one you're hired to do, and then there's navigating the office politics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there really is no such thing as a company with no politics, would you say?
Unless there's only two people. I think once you have a crowd, you got politics.
Yeah.
Well, because it's a competitive environment. I'm always saying that the workplace is a competitive environment.
Yeah.
So there's always, you know, people have motivations that may not be in your best interest.
Right.
They're in their best interest. Like, we don't have any office politics because there's too few of us.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But most places, I think once you get above 10 people...
They're going to be yeah. politics. I think actually just above five, you'll still
oh,
have
there you
them.
Go. Five. That's probably true.
We're on the cusp.
Yeah, because there are enough people that there will be, you mentioned teams, that there will be probably people who side with each
yeah.
other or bond together or compete against each other. And you have to sort of identify who those people are and who you're going to side with, as you said, and how you're going to handle the relationships.
I think it even happens among friends when in groups of friends.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I never understood how groups of friends did well.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've seen them do well, and I don't understand that, because there's always backstabbing and talking about one another,
mm-hmm.
right? Isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, there is. That's why I actually prefer one-on-one.
Right, so how does that work?
Versus groups, because there's always people who feel left out, or someone's gossiping
right.
in the corner about
right.
someone's shirt. I don't know.
Well, you can't talk about this one. This one's in the room, and when that
right.
one's in the room, you better not bring up this. And you better
right.
yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, working around people. And so that's what it's like in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is interesting to me that she enters the workplace and was shocked by it. I mean, it is mm-hmm. a little like, whoa, okay, I got to learn this whole side of
right.
this job.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think that usually the way you learn about office politics is something doesn't happen that you think should. So, for example, if you believe that your work will just speak for itself, and then you don't get a good review, or you don't get a promotion, or you don't get a raise, you've suddenly learned the hard way that it's not that simple.
Right.
Right, that
right.
There's an environment here that I have to navigate, and I have to see how will I be recognized, how much do I have to brag or, you know, tell people about what I'm doing, who do I need to tell what I'm mm-hmm. doing, and how do I frame it so that it comes off, so that ultimately I can be rewarded for my work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I find there's several camps when it comes to politics. Some people absolutely thrive and figure it out really well. And,
yeah.
you know, they just don't really have an issue with it. And then there are people that despise it.
Resent it, too, yeah.
And they really can't work in a big company.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have to go off on their own and be a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people that, you know, they get along. They or they don't do that well, maybe I should say. They sort of hang in the middle somewhere because they don't really play it to its fullest extent. I think it's hard to be a really political person at your job. It's a whole other job.
Yes.
It is. It is, and you have to decide who you're going to ally with, right? Who you're
well, that's align a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're not aligned on the right team, you're not going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Or the winning team. Or if your team is winning and then all of a sudden it's not. I mean, mm-hmm. you know. I know many people, clients of mine, when they get promoted, I love to hear how all of a sudden everybody's treating them differently. We hear that from one client in particular lately as he moved up the ladder.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's working him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a reality.
Right. Well, that's part of it is part of understanding office politics is knowing and appreciating that everyone has their own agenda,
mm-hmm.
something that they're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's your boss, there may be a certain way in which he or she wants to look good mm-hmm. or, you know, wants you to make them look good. And if it's a coworker, it may be that they want some particular favor from you or they need your expertise in some way.
Yeah, and everybody's watching who's going to throw who under the bus, who's going to throw themselves under the bus. I mean, everybody's watching all the behaviors.
Sacrifice.
You know, you may be very innocent.
Who's going to be driving the bus?
Right, exactly. Who's on the bus? Who's under? Yeah. So if you're just sort of innocent, naive, and not paying attention to any of that, you're going to mm-hmm. get run over.
Right. Well, what I would say, just to try to get a sense of what are the politics here, you really want to see not what people say, but what they actually do. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to see who's actually trustworthy or who's someone who's just going to say what they think you want to hear or says what everyone thinks they want to hear, or who's the person who's the gossip, who spreads rumors. I mean, there are a lot of different kind of characters that you have to track.
This is a lot of work beyond the job description.
Well, that's right.
Just throwing that out there.
That's right. It's a big part of the job.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
And usually people don't leave companies because they don't like their work. They usually leave because they don't like this part. They don't like the political environment.
Mm-hmm.
And some companies are much worse than others. But I remember my first big job, and I walked in and I, you know, was able to navigate. I was able to see the politics.
Yeah.
Were you surprised at your first job where there were politics?
No. Well, my first job, I was the token heterosexual at a gay health center.
Right.
So the politics were, I had to be politically correct in terms of being, you know, gay enough and lesbian enough and still be a heterosexual.
But did you find it surprising or did you, you know?
No, that was not surprising.
I didn't find it surprising either. That's why I find her question interesting because she found it surprising. She didn't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you get through life and not know that there's politics
right
in the workplace because as I guess maybe she'd never worked before. I mean.
Yeah, I think that it comes more from those who are fairly idealistic and who want to believe that you go to work and you
and
do your
fair?
Job and it's fair, exactly.
Oh. That's our
life
mistake.
Isn't fair?
That's our mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's a harsh awakening. If you think you go to school and it's a meritocracy, basically, right? So if you do well in school and you get good grades, then it's mm-hmm. pretty simple translation of effort to results.
Right.
And then you leave school, let's say you leave high school or you leave college or graduate school, and suddenly you're in an environment where none of that really matters.
But wait, when you're a student, you're not in a political game, but don't you see the teachers are?
Only if you're looking.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of political game during with the students, though. There's cliques and
sure.
different, you know.
Well, and there's also winning the professors over if you want to be, you know,
right,
if you want to be
right.
viewed well.
Right.
But I think the real politics is not apparent until you do go into the world of work. And then I also believe that the most confusing thing is if you think you're doing the right thing
mm-hmm.
and you're not getting positive feedback,
mm-hmm.
it's very confusing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of confusing messages.
Yeah.
You know, you see people behaving badly and then they're treated well. I mean,
right.
there's lots of that. But then that is a piece of information you need.
Right.
And you know, we talk a lot about when you're interviewing, you have to interview for culture.
Yes.
And this is the kind of stuff, if you could find this out ahead of time,
yeah,
some of it anyway, you're not going to find out all of it. It's helpful.
Right.
To know whether you want to work there or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a hard one to...
I think it takes a while to really uncover the politics, mm-hmm, sorry, of a place. Mm-hmm. Culture, you can get a little bit, but really understanding how do things get done here and who gets positive mm-hmm, feedback here or who gets the rewards here, that takes a little while, don't you think?
How do you learn? Just solely through observation, or
yeah,
do you ask other people? I mean, if you're new going in.
Mm-hmm. Well, people will give you hints,
mm-hmm,
but you can ask. But I think it's through observation.
Right.
You know, at every meeting you can see who sits where and who looks, yeah, at who and who's not looking at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Who's just always talking.
Yeah, you can, yeah, start to see it. And then you sort of develop a nose for it.
Right.
Right, and then you have to make a decision of how you want to participate. Now, I think you can actually, I mean, we have worked with people who've been able to stay fairly neutral in a highly political situation.
Well, that's, mm-hmm, a real skill.
Yeah.
I think,
mm-hmm,
you can. I think you can be, you know, do a really good job and play all sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not offend anyone. I think you can do it. It's you know, it's work.
Right. It goes back to what you're saying, Logan. It's a lot of work.
Right.
And
beyond
your actual job.
Mm-hmm.
And as Kathy's saying, it's an equally important component of any job. Because the other thing that's interesting is if you aren't willing to engage at least a little bit or acknowledge the politics,
mm-hmm,
or even try to play all sides of the situation, then you may be viewed as a non-player. You know, like you're not really engaged,
right,
or you don't,
right,
really care. You're not really part of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Interesting.
Well, yeah. It gets complicated depending on what the culture is.
Yeah.
Because if it's a misfit for you, you're not going to be able to play the way they want. Like if it's a heavily drinking,
right,
and I've seen that. I've seen, you know, in the more creative fields, there,
right,
may be some drugs or there may be alcohol use that if you don't play, you miss a lot of meetings.
Right.
And you're not part of sort of the in crowd. So that's an extreme example. It could be something else.
Well, I was going to say, we've worked in many medical health-related fields where food is the big, huge part of the culture.
Yeah, so if you don't eat, you know.
Yeah, if you're not participating, if you don't bring cakes for people's birthdays, if you don't, you know, I don't know,
well,
engage or meet in the kitchen or, yeah. I think that could
be.
Well,
you wouldn't fit in there. Catherine, you couldn't. You could never get work there.
No, unless there was bacon or some
exactly
kind of,
like, salty,
yeah,
chips. Possibly, I could do well with that. A salty chip culture would do very well for me.
Well, we talked about the food show,
yeah.
a couple 2 weeks ago. The politics of food.
Yeah.
I mean that is part of the culture.
That's right.
You know, so or the politics also, understanding all of that.
Right, there are, mm-hmm, politics about hours. How long do people really work here? If you leave early, how is that viewed? If, mm-hmm, you arrive late, how's that viewed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have the politics of presentation, like does everyone have to present in a certain way, or do you just have to razzle dazzle and be more exciting with every presentation you give?
I worked with this company. You never met them, but they made shoes, and they're no,
yeah,
longer in business. So how's that for you? But they had this. They were very stuck up, and
yeah,
they had this thing. You had to be super interesting,
right?
Right, like you,
yes,
you know, you had to have seen the latest play or movie or read.
Oh.
Oh yeah, they were just really kind of stuck up about that. I,
yeah,
never felt cool enough.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
and as I said, they're no longer in business, so I don't know how cool that was.
Just to know that justice was rendered, by the way.
But I remember people struggling with that.
Yeah,
that you had to look cool, you had to be super cool.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, very stressful for some people.
You know, I'm thinking my client, I have a client who works for an app company, and he said, if you're a guy, you have to wear sneakers, jeans, and, mm-hmm, baseball caps.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then you're just viewed as a nerd.
A hoodie.
We're hoodies. Hoodie. T-shirts.
Honestly, a hoodie. I see these kids also. I mean, I see them wearing them. And I mean, I thought you stopped that by junior high school, but maybe no, not. I mean, no.
But that's the politics
of dress. Oh, wait, Logan's wearing a hoodie. That's because we don't care about dress here. All right, obviously an adult can wear a hoodie. I do wear hoodies sometimes.
Yeah, but that's the politics
but
of dress.
But it's the politics, right. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the culture, part of the politics, that if you don't dress
right
in a prescribed manner, and I mean, and that could even be a beautiful suit. It doesn't necessarily just have to be, you know, the startup look.
Right.
You can be ostracized
right
for not politically knowing how to do that.
That's right.
Oh, it's so stressful. Yes. So the person who wrote in that she, you know, was really shocking to her, and she didn't realize she was so naive and had to learn this whole thing. I don't know what she's faced with, but it must be very anti-intuitive,
right?
Yes,
for her to have seen it, because there's a certain amount you can pick up,
right?
But this must have been quite shocking to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's the politics of not telling the truth, or the politics of making things up, or the politics of only looking good no matter what, you know, those things can be very confusing if you're someone who likes to just tell the truth and say what's happening and do your job.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So I suggest that you try to find this stuff out before you take a job. But, you know, even it can change. It can change with leadership.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely.
The politics do come and go. So the more you can find out early on, the better. But the bottom line is you've got to figure it out. And decide what you're going to participate in and decide what you're not going to participate in. And if you're not going to participate, how are you going to handle it?
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I help a lot of people with that. An executive coach really helps with navigating that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you may have to reach out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
do your homework.
Find a sponsor, find a mentor who can help you. You know, navigating some difficult politics.
Well, exactly. I think actually it starts with figuring out what the politics are. We spend a lot of time in our executive coaching asking the people, you know, so who does get rewarded here, and describe that person again, and why is that person protected, let's say, in their position, or has your boss actually been, you know, accomplished much recently, and do they seem to be competitive with you when you're trying to make a, you know, do something new?
Right.
You want someone who can ask the questions, right, to really uncover that. And I agree, Kathy, that's something you do so skillfully, especially for people in higher positions, but because then it's all political.
I like to ask people, you know, who's doing very well in this environment?
Who
navigates it well? And what is it they do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that usually gives them an insight in who to follow or who to speak with.
Right.
Or just model after their behavior.
Right. I think another rule of thumb is that the higher up you go in an organization, the more you must deal with politics.
It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a reason why people don't go upstairs.
Uh-huh.
Because it can be snaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some people, other people do really well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to also know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what it always comes down to.
What's your politics dosage? What can you tolerate and not tolerate?
Mm-hmm.
How much of your time do you want to spend working on that?
Now, I personally can't do much of it. How about you? I can't. It's too much for me.
Yeah.
Well, I just find it ugly. I like to run the show.
Exhausting.
Logan's falling asleep listening. He's exhausted learning about this. What about you, Catherine? You don't have a high tolerance. You can. No, maybe you can.
No, well, no, I don't think I do. Honestly, we're all, as you said, we're in this company together for a reason. And, but I will say that the thing I had to learn the most about politics when I went overseas and did the Peace Corps, right? Because that was a whole different culture, and the rules were so different. And they really did a great job of training you to say, if you want a decision made here, this is what you have to do. This is how you have to treat your elders. This is how the decision-making chain goes. And with time, I was able to learn some of it, but it was mostly I was trying to figure out how to get around it. So,
right.
I think that's what I would do probably in any highly political situation, is try to find my way around it.
I mean, I've gone to parties with a lot of people knew each other and I didn't. And mm-hmm. I find that sometimes political, like navigating what's the acceptable conversation, what they're anti, what they're for.
Right.
And I always find that kind of challenging. And I don't always do too well. I sometimes step on some landmines.
Being innocent and telling your story.
Just being myself. Yeah. Maybe in opposition to what they can handle or what they think.
But actually, that's a really interesting point, because I guess what I'm thinking is part of then reading the politics is noticing the body language.
Definitely.
While you're talking about any particular topic, right? Because you can see the people who really know the political culture will start exchanging glances if you're headed in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. They'll back away from you. They'll either lean in if you're in the right one and lean out if
they'll have
not.
To answer their emails very quickly.
Yes. Well, so it's reading the whole ball of wax.
Yeah.
The body language and just behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it is intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't have that, it's going to take you a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there's a lot to say on this topic, but I think we got enough out.
All right. So join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime. In the meantime, good luck navigating whatever political situation you're in.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.